welcome everyone to a fresh episode of Draft on Tap. My name is Aldo Gandia. Just want to let you know that we've got programming the rest of the week. All you got to do is subscribe to this YouTube channel. You will receive alerts on whatever device you want. And if you're an audio podcast person, make sure you subscribe to the Barroom Network's audio podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Let me bring in Danny Shimon right now, because we've got a really good one and I want to get to it right away. Danny, how are you, my man?
Mr. Aldo Gandia, I am doing well. Just sitting here watching the ticker, watching X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it these days, and see if there's anything that breaks here. So, Barflies, if you guys are out there listening, just let us know. If you guys see anything come across, if there's a trade or a signing, please pop in and let us know. But yeah, just waiting to see what Ryan Poles and the Bears tend to do here.
Yeah, well, we've got a great show. We've got Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears. He's going to come in and talk to us about the whole Caleb Justin thing, and we're going to talk some prospects. And then after that, Danny and I are going to talk about what the Bears have done in free agency. And I think we should just get started. Let's bring in Lauren now. Lauren Cox, how are you, my friend?
Hey, thanks for having me. Good to be here. Doing great. And love the energy. Absolutely.
Yeah, you look good, man. You got the beard going. Are you still 6'6"?
Getting taller. They haven't cut me down just yet, but I'm worried about it. Every time I hit my head on a ceiling, I think I lose about an eighth of an inch.
I hear you, man. All right. So here's what I want to do. I want to talk about Caleb and I want to talk about Justin. I know this is the most contentious thing that has happened in Chicago sports in my lifetime. It's like the political battles that are going on. And in fact, Lauren was the first one that made me think, yeah, this is like a political battle. And the reason that he made me think that is because he produced these two great parody videos.
Chicago children need a role model in their Bears quarterback. Chicago children need Justin Fields. Caleb Williams is a Washington, D.C. insider who became a West Coast elite. Justin Fields is a Southern gentleman who shares our wholesome Midwestern values. Caleb Williams proudly displayed curse words on his fingernails. Is that the kind of language we want our children to see? Justin Fields promotes healthy nutrition and supports small businesses in our community. Caleb Williams is obsessed with sugary, unhealthy candy. Who do we want as the face of our franchise? Another DC elite pushing profanity and obesity on our unsuspecting children? Or a man of the people who actually finished college and knows how to handle the pressures of being a quarterback in Chicago? Chicago Bears fans need Justin Fields. Paid for by Friends of Fields Political Action Committee. Not affiliated with Justin Fields. Chicago Bears need a quarterback to take them to the next level, who isn't going to run away when the pressure's on. Caleb Williams is the franchise quarterback Chicago needs. Caleb doesn't flee at the first sign of trouble. He sticks it out in the pocket when the going gets tough. In college, Justin Fields ran away from the Georgia Bulldogs to Ohio State. Caleb Williams owns Bulldogs because he's the pack leader. What are you running from, Justin? The truth? Did I mention his middle name is Skyler? Caleb Williams didn't run away from the coach that believed in him, and he'll be loyal to Chicago. Justin Fields started a vegan diet in college. Now he's a pescatarian. Make up your mind, Justin. Caleb Williams is a meat-eating, red-blooded, all-American quarterback. Make Caleb your next Chicago Bears quarterback in 2024. Chicago needs a Heisman man, not a Heisman boy. Paid for by the Caleb for Chicago Political Action Committee. Not affiliated with Caleb Williams, the quarterback.
That's just great work. Very, very nice.
That's funny.
Yeah, I imagine the reaction you got to those once you posted it was all very positive.
Yeah, no, you got like 10% of people watching him that took them seriously and or saw one and took it seriously, but the other 90% was good. I think my favorite feedback I got was a guy on TikTok commented that he was the young boy in the picture of the sad Bears fan during the Justin Fields video where he's sitting there like looking tears in his eyes. He's like, that picture was of me 15 years ago or whenever. Like you can see it. He looks just like him. Like that kid was like, this video is hilarious and I'm in it. And it was like, that was the perfect connection for me.
That is wild. So I can't venture a guess as to what your preference is. And so what I would like you to do, I'm going to go backstage and let Danny handle the interview with you. Caleb, vote for Caleb or vote for Justin. You guys talk it out and I'll jump in a few minutes.
Yeah, like Aldo said, here we go. So like Aldo said, you know, we don't know, well, I guess I don't know in terms of those videos in which way you're leaning in terms of, you know, Justin versus Caleb. I think I've made myself clear on these airwaves that I'm a Justin fan. I believe in Justin. Not that Caleb is not talented, but I just feel like what you can get for that first pick and build around Justin, I think that's the way to go. So Lauren, why don't you go ahead and give us your take in terms of how you feel the Bears should proceed with this, you know, big decision here.
I'll say on the front end, I am team Caleb in this decision, but I don't think it's so black and white that like, oh, if you think they should draft Caleb Williams, then you're an idiot. Or if you think they should keep Justin Fields, it seems like there's a lot of that out there where it's like each side believes this is the one true definitive answer that the Bears should do at the quarterback position. And I think like the fact that there is such a wide split down the middle on this tells you that both sides have merit to it. I certainly see Justin Fields as a starting caliber NFL quarterback, someone who I certainly wouldn't be upset if the Bears continue to build around. And I think he can still be successful as a starter in the NFL, whether it's in Chicago or anywhere else. But for me, the evaluation of Caleb Williams is high enough that I see it as my best chance at getting that. I don't want to keep putting him in the Patrick Mahomes conversation because that's not fair to anybody, but like to be that Josh Allen, Joe Burrow caliber of quarterback where it's just like a tier above what you've seen Justin Fields. I don't think he's a guarantee. No rookie quarterback is a guarantee, but I like my odds enough that it's worth the swing for the fences for me there to say, yes, let's go get this guy that I think can be something even more special than what the Bears have had with Justin Fields. And I have still enough lingering doubts about Fields. I still think he can be successful, but like what that actual ceiling looks like at this stage of his career. Like I agree with a lot of the analysis that like, he has not been given a fair shot in Chicago and has not been properly developed. But like, I don't see that as compelling enough reason for me to say, let's keep doing it. Like, yes, it sucks. And that was not good. And it was not properly handled for Fields. But like Caleb is the opportunity to get something that I think is just that much better and worth a swing there. And certainly if the Bears weren't in the number one overall pick, I don't think we'd be having this conversation at all.
True. Yeah. It's a situation where they just got locked into the number one pick. And then now they're coming to the situation where they are a scenario where they have the majority of the scouts, you know, even, you know, front offices are thinking that Caleb is above the other two, you know, the three top three quarterbacks. I think Caleb has pretty much kind of separated himself from Drake May and Jaden Daniels. You know, and for me, in terms of, and very, very, you know, well, you know, put points there, Lauren, and I'm with you in terms of, you know, when I break down Caleb Williams tape, and then I remember when I was breaking down Justin Fields come out of college. Obviously, I think Caleb is more advanced in terms of as a passer than Justin was coming out of Ohio State. Not that Justin can't throw the football, can't make, you know, throws and all that stuff. It's just the ability for me. It's the ability to throw it off platform. We've talked about, you know, that's where the Mahomes comparisons come in. And I'm just like you. I hate that you put too much pressure on this kid and calling him. I hate when kids are called generational when they haven't even played a snap in the NFL. That really just ticks me off. And you put too much pressure on these kids and the expectations of the fan base is just, you know, raised to exponential levels. But anyway, getting back to Caleb, his ability to throw off platform with accuracy is above Justin's coming out of Ohio State. I think his ability to his quick release, really the ability, even if he drops the ball down and he's trying to, you know, get away from the defenders, to quickly reload it and throw it on the run on, you know, 50 yards on the field, pinpoint accuracy. I think that's where it kind of, you know, if you take a look at his tape compared to Justin's, I think that's where you give Caleb the edge there. Obviously athletically, I think, you know, Justin's a bigger bigger quarterback, more athletic, faster in terms of he's a bigger threat as a runner, so on and so forth. So I agree with you in terms of, I think Justin was really given a bad hand here, 2 years ago. They came in here, they tore down this organization and threw him out there with a ragtag offensive line. His number one and number two receivers are Byron Pringle and Dante Pettis, who are both currently out of the NFL. So, I mean, it was really unfair for him to go ahead and go out there and kind of put that on him. But I think the big thing here is, and if you go ahead and go back and forth, is with Caleb, my thing with Caleb is obviously the off the field stuff, you and I don't have inside knowledge of it. I've heard things from scouts prior to the beginning of the season in terms of Caleb off the field. And that's questions he's going to have to answer with the scouts and polls. And I'm not going to be comfortable with him there, but just on the field himself, watching him play and break down his tape, he does a lot of stuff off script, right? And that's the thing that Justin gets killed on here too, is timing, not being on script in terms of, you see a runner or receiver cutting in the middle of the field and he doesn't throw the ball. He sees him coming over, just doesn't throw the ball. He just holds on to it a little bit too long. And I see the same things with Caleb, right? I see Caleb also running with the football out here like a bread loaf and fumbles it, right? So there's things here that they both have bad tendencies. And I just think, if you're bringing in this offensive system with Shane Waldron and the new staff, and you know how they like to run that McVay system, where it's structure, where it's timing, where you got to throw it to a spot, throw receivers open. I don't know if Caleb is that ideal fit for the scheme. So are you bringing in another quarterback here that's got talent that could possibly be, not developed or underdeveloped or however you want to term it, by a scheme and a system that doesn't fit him correctly? Now, if you go ahead if you just honestly look at these three quarterbacks and say, of these three, which one fits this scheme? I'd say it's Jaden Daniels, right? But based off of the talent itself, I think you go Caleb Williams number one. So my concern, in a roundabout way here, my question is, do you have the same fears that I have is in terms of, can this scheme, if Caleb is drafted here, will Shane Waldron be able to develop him into an NFL type of quarterback?
That's the million-dollar question, right? I mean, I agree with the evaluation side there. Like, yes, the same kind of concerns about Caleb Williams. But I made the point earlier this offseason that, I think the Bears' most important decision this offseason is not the quarterback, but it was the offensive coordinator. Like, that was going to be the most pivotal decision. I mean, it probably started with head coach, right? That was right. The first most
pivotal decision. Head coach, right?
Yeah. Once you decided Matt Eberflus was coming back, then your most pivotal decision was going to be offensive coordinator, because whether it was Fields or number one overall pick, this has to be the coach that can either continue to develop Fields or to properly develop that number one overall pick quarterback. Shane Waldron, I think, comes in getting some benefit of the doubt, the way he was able to adapt the offense around Geno Smith and even make it work for Drew Lock for a short period of time there. And obviously kind of transitioning from Russell Wilson is not an easy task there. So I guess cautiously optimistic that someone like Waldron can do it. I mean, the way he talks about football and molding an offense to a player and kind of like the players will determine the system. Like, we have our core concepts, but then we got to really like fit it to these guys and put them in the best position to be successful. Like, that's all the things you want to hear from an offensive coordinator. But I do feel like we heard Luke Getsy say some of those same things and then not actually do it. So I'm hesitant to just be like all aboard, like Shane Waldron's going to do it great no matter who the quarterback is. But at the same time, like, it's going to be a really good measurement of him as the coordinator to say, okay, yeah, like, whether it's Fields or Caleb Williams, they're going to be in this, some of those same types of traits or trends in their quarterback play either quarterback, they're going to have to adjust the offense to that a little bit more. And you can't expect Fields to be that precision three-step drop quarterback over and over again. And I feel like, because I think we have more tape on Fields at the NFL level, I feel like Caleb is more of the unknown in that regard. And like, you feel like, oh, well, maybe Caleb can still do more of that and just wasn't asked to do as much of that in college. Whereas, like, you may have said the same thing about Fields coming into the NFL, but like, now we've seen 3 years of them trying to ask him to do more of that and hasn't been able to really do more of that. And maybe that the answer will be the same for Caleb Williams, but we haven't really seen Caleb be asked to do more of that. So I'm left feeling like, oh, well, maybe he still can. And maybe if he comes to Chicago in year one with a much better situation than what Justin Fields came into, I mean, we've got to see how free agency plays out, but ideally in a much better situation, maybe you could just sort of restart the quarterback development process that even if Caleb and Justin are similar, at least you're just sort of setting that back a few number of years and getting to start Caleb in a much better spot than where Justin Fields started. And hopefully you could accelerate that development to get Caleb to where you wanted Fields to get to.
So in terms of projecting here, with Caleb here on the Bears, is there something that besides you know, Waldron and so forth, you know, developing, is there anything other than that worries you about Caleb? Is it, you know, the off the field stuff with this team and people surrounding them? Is there anything on the field that concerns you with Caleb in terms of what could limit him from succeeding here? Obviously, assuming the Bears go ahead and add some more weapons on the outside at a receiver and to kind of show up that offensive line, what else could are you concerned about Caleb in terms of, you know, him possibly not succeeding here in Chicago?
Yeah, the supporting cast is definitely going to be a big part of that. But, you know, as we're talking today, he's still, the free agency just started. So we'll see how the receiving core on the O-line plays out from here. That's going to be a given there. But in terms of, like, you know, the evaluation of Caleb in that, like, the way he's able to manipulate the pocket and move around and avoid rushers and pressure, like, I'm curious how quickly that translates in the NFL when he's put out there right away, when guys are that much bigger, faster, and stronger, and your offensive line is trying to adapt to you as opposed to a couple of years at USC where guys could really get comfortable with that. Like, I think about Patrick Mahomes and how getting that year on the bench in Kansas City, like, gives him more time to be like, okay, at practice, I know how to adjust a little bit more and can kind of see what pass rushers are like before they can touch me for a much longer period, as opposed to really getting thrown out there week one. It's like, all right, you got to adapt or die. And sometimes that really quick adaption can cause you to you just got to do what's going to work right now, as opposed to, like, what's going to be the best longer term option for him is development. So, like, how the quarterback coach and the offensive coordinator work through that with him. Like, I would love to sit Caleb Williams for a year. Like, I don't know that that's realistic when it's the number one overall pick, but I would do that with any of the quarterbacks in this draft. Like, I just feel like it's the best thing you can do for a young quarterback to give him that time. And especially when it comes to, like, the little things where it's like, at USC, it's the last possible second he lets go of the ball, right? Like, he extends it to the last possible minute and finds just the perfect timing. And it's like, that timing is going to change in the NFL. It's got to speed up for him. And the more time you can give him to speed that up and not have to rush him through that process, the better he can adapt that skill set to the NFL and not just have to, like, completely change what he's doing because he just got to make it work because he's the starter right now, day one.
Yeah, I was on the same mindset earlier on. I said, you know, when the Bears did get the first pick, I said, you know, there's no need for them to go ahead and just, you know, trade Justin Fields. They could, you know, bring in Caleb or whoever they want. They deem as, you know, the first overall pick and or even trade down and keep Justin. But I think that it's gotten to the point now with media and all that social media stuff. I think it would be too much in terms of the players in the locker room, too much of a distraction. I think that at that point, that ship has sailed. But, you know, coming into the combine, I thought it was into actually this offseason. I thought it was the decision was going to be, you know, keep Justin or pick, you know, number one, whether it's Caleb or Jayden Daniels, whoever it was. But I think now the decision's gone from I don't even think keeping Justin is an option with the Bears anymore. I think it's now who we're gonna draft number one. Are we gonna stay number one? Are we gonna trade down? Is someone else gonna give us a haul for this pick? And are we comfortable taking Jayden Daniels or Drake May? Do you agree with that? Do you think there's still a decision to be made here from Poles and company of either keep Justin, trade Justin and get it, you know, draft a quarterback, or is it, you know, just, you know, basically Justin's gone, which quarterback are we gonna draft?
Yeah, it feels to me like it's all eyes on all paths forward on Caleb Williams or Ryan Poles is orchestrating the greatest at draft season smokescreen we've ever seen in our entire lives. Like, I down at the Senior Bowl and I was down at the combine this year, like, it's pretty universal. Like, yeah, everybody knows the Bears like Caleb Williams and are more or less planning on drafting Caleb Williams. Like, you still get the Ian Rappaport's and Adam Schefter's come out and say, well, the Bears, you know, they still want to finish their evaluations and stuff. So, like, I do believe that in the sense that they're not 100% sure, but I think they're 99, 95% sure to where, like, at this point, it would take something drastic. Something would have to come up in the draft process that, you know, a player gets arrested or some kind of criminal activity comes out, you know, something crazy like that to really throw the Bears off of drafting a quarterback with the number one overall pick. But they're still, so they're not going to say with 100% certainty until they really kind of go through this whole process that, yes, we are for sure taking him. But I think that's really the plan that they're moving forward with. And then it's just a matter of, like, finding the right situation for Justin Fields and how to play that out. And free agency certainly didn't really facilitate that nicely for them in terms of the quarterback market and where everybody else went. And so now they're left kind of like, ah, crap, what are we going to do here? And you know, they'll eventually take what they can get and move on. But it's just, it's not as pretty and as seamless as it felt last year when they traded down, and not as seamless as I think Ryan Poles wanted it to be.
So I was just curious. I'll run something by you that I talked to Aldo, and we'll bring Aldo in after this question here real quick. Just my final question is, all right, so Washington has gone and signed about 13 or 14 players at last count. I think of last count, players are signed. That's 13, 14 new players on the roster. They have 11 picks. So if they make all those picks, and I know they could trade the picks, but if they make those 11 picks, they're talking about 26 new players on a 53-man roster. That's almost half the roster, right? So is there a possibility that Washington is setting itself up to offer a ton of draft capital to the Bears, and maybe Chicago does like Jaden Daniels more, and they trade down to number two and take Daniels instead of Caleb Williams number one? You think that's a possibility?
I certainly think Washington is gearing up to make that offer and probably has already engaged in some of those conversations for the offer. But I also can't help but feel like if I'm Ryan Poles, like obviously you want as many draft picks as you can, and you would be very, very tempted by a big offer from Washington. But if you're trying to get the quarterback of the future for your franchise and you believe there is one quarterback in this draft that is that quarterback of the future for you, I don't know if he can even move down one spot, because Washington can tell you they're going to take Caleb Williams. Washington can give you every sign they're ever going to take Caleb Williams. But like, unless you like draft Caleb at one and then trade him after you've drafted him for Jaden Daniels, like that's the only way I could see it. Like, I don't think you can trade from one with the understanding that another team is going to take that quarterback, so you get all these picks and still get your quarterback, like without knowing for sure that you're going to get that other quarterback, because Washington could be lying to you. They could be pulling off the smokescreen and they actually want Jaden Daniels and they fooled you. They moved into one, took your guy, and then you're left at two and you have to take a quarterback that you didn't like as much. Like, so like when you have the number one overall pick, like you have to ensure in some way, shape or form that you get the quarterback. Like if you're going to move on from Fields, you're going to do this big franchise changing decision. You cannot risk in any way, shape, or form any possibility that you don't end up with the guy that you want. So at best, you'd have to like take the quarterback that you want and then potentially try and negotiate a trade or something like after the pick, kind of like with Eli Manning. But I just think to me, for Ryan Poles, like just get your quarterback and don't risk the possibility of Washington pulling a fast one on you and end up taking the quarterback that you want and not the one you think they're going to take. Even if you're really, really sure they like Caleb Williams, like can you be 100% sure until that card is turned in? And I think you can't quite, and then what do you risk not getting that quarterback and then ending up with a quarterback you don't believe in, and then you cripple your whole franchise and get fired?
But these guys always get the quarterback they want, always get the players they want after the draft. That was our guy. That's who we were shooting for. But yeah, and a great point. I totally agree with you. If you have a conviction on a player, whether it's Caleb or Jaden Daniels, and don't mess around, take him number one, especially if you plan on moving on from Justin Fields.
Let's take a look at the election results here since we opened up the polls at the start of the show. Who's your Bears quarterback for 2024? Justin Fields leads the field, 62%, 21% for Caleb, 10% for, hey, just leave it up to Ryan Poles. I trust him. And 6% are looking at Jaden Daniels or some other option. Are you surprised by those numbers?
Multiple times there. That's Chicago way. I've voted multiple times.
I figured. Are you surprised by those numbers, Lauren?
No, I'm not. I mean, it's to make the political comparison, right? Like incumbents are always more popular in the polls, right? Like that's, I mean, it's not always, I guess, but like certainly in a district where the incumbent is well-liked, it's very yes. hard to unseat that incumbent in this case, Justin Fields. So I'm not super surprised there. And again, like I totally get it. And I think Justin Fields is a good quarterback and would be certainly happy if the Bears continue to build around him and trade it down. But I don't think they will, and I do think I would prefer Caleb, but understand both directions.
All right. So before we get you out of here, Lauren, so you can get to work at your multiple jobs, because I know you do more than Locked On Bears. Where else are you at now?
Might be announced. I can't say tonight, but I might be announcing something new soon that I think is actually supposed to potentially launch tomorrow. But I don't know if there's been some projects in the background here that a new writing outlet for me, but. The podcast is my main Bears spot at this point. I used to work for Pro Football Focus for a long time, but
right,
you can only do so much in one day. And I do some other radio stuff on the side that's not sports focused.
Okay, so follow Lauren at Cox Sports One on X to see what the announcement is. So hopefully, we'll hear about it tomorrow. So Lauren, I want to get your thoughts and Danny's thoughts. I asked you guys to kind of share with us two or three names, however many you want, of certain players in this upcoming draft that you personally are passionate about and would love to see the Bears target when the draft comes along. So why don't we start with you, Lauren?
I'm going to start on defense with a guy that did not test super well at the combine, but that might help the Chicago Bears land him because of this kind of void in the, you know, if they, after nine, they'll pick again to the third round. I don't think he's going to fall all the way to the third round, but I think he was a guy who I thought with a better combine could have made it into the first round. But it's Darius Robinson from Missouri, the edge rusher. To me, like, I don't know whether he's a three technique pass rusher or a 4-3 defensive end in the NFL. He'll probably end up more on the interior, but he's the great fit in Matt Eberflus's defense. Is one of those, you know, one of these long, physical, strong edge guys that I think you could play him on the edge in base defense and then rush him on the interior nickel. And I think DeMarcus Walker would be a really good mentor for him. Someone who can kind of show him how to juggle all the different responsibilities and keep tabs of where you're supposed to be at different run fits on the inside versus the outside. I'm not really that worried about his 40-yard dash being slow and some of his combine numbers being slow, because I think he plays faster on tape. And like, especially seeing him at the Senior Bowl, like just a well-rounded pass rushing arsenal, like a guy who can come in right away and just be more of a technician than typically you expect a first year player. So he's a guy on the pass rush department for the Bears that not going to be there at nine. But if you go wide receiver in the first round, like that's a guy I want to get to fill in who can, again, like I'll find a space for him. I'll figure out what position he plays later. I'll take that skill set and then work with it.
Andy, what do you got?
Yeah, I love Darius Robinson. My only problem with, if you don't, I mean, obviously the Bears only have five picks. So they have no second round picks. So a lot of these guys fall in that late first or second round. And unfortunately, obviously, like I said, they're not going to go with that guy at number nine. So, you know, we'll see, unless they make a trade down and he gets some more, you know, draft capital. I think that's where we're going to be looking at, you know, getting some more players like Darius Robinson. But for me, since you went defense, I'm going to go offense. And I'm an offensive line. I'm a defensive line, offensive line kind of guy. And one guy that really caught my eye, and you mentioned you being down in Mobile and Senior Bowl, and this guy caught my eye at the Senior Bowl, and kind of that for me has progressed throughout the process, is Brandon Coleman from TCU. Offensive lineman, played left tackle. I think he's going to kick into guard. He's got the length in terms of arm length to play left tackle. Unfortunately, I don't think his feet are athletic enough to be out there on the island alone, so I think kick him inside the guard. So I think as a guy, you come in here. Obviously, Tevin Jenkins is a guy that's very popular among the Bears fans. I'm a fan of him in terms of him kicking inside a guard. I think he's done a good job. The only thing with him is just staying on the field and staying healthy. And also, he's going into a contract year as well. So I think Brandon Coleman will be a nice kid to come in here. You know, probably groom him as a left guard to possibly replace Tevin Jenkins, and then just kick right in next year and be your starter there at left tackle. Also, if you do lose your left tackle, you know, Braxton Jones in the middle of a game, he could also kick out to left tackle in a pinch and get you out of a game as so it gives you kind of some versatility there in terms of position versatility. So I think Brandon Coleman from TCU, he might be there in that pick 75, which is that third round pick there. So he's a guy that if he's there, it gives you a lot of value in terms of an interior blocker. The guy's got experience at multiple positions.
Lauren, you got another one for me, or you want to comment on Danny's choice?
No, I remember Brandon Coleman at the Senior Bowl. Like he looked the part, right? I mean, not overwhelmed by the talent down there, and a guy who, and as you said, like played both left tackle and left guard in college. So it's not like one of these, well, he's never played guard before, so we got to kind of project him inside a little bit more. Like, no, we've actually seen him play both positions at the college level. So that always gives you a little bit more of that assured, like, okay, like, yeah, this guy's not going to be a total project in that regard. I'll throw in one other receiver that if really, I'll make it two in the sense that, like, if the Bears can't get Roma Dunze, I like either of the other Washington receivers, yes. Jalen Polk and then Jalen McMillan. But especially, I think McMillan's a guy that I fall in love with these kind of wide receivers where it's like, just get me the guy who knows how to get open, just finds ways to get open. Like, I don't know if he'll ever be a 1,000-yard receiver in the NFL. I mean, who knows? But, like, he's going to have a 10, 15-year career because he just finds ways to get open. It's not about being the biggest, fastest guy in the field, but it's the craft, right? It's the technical skills that he can come in with. He's not a project at wide receiver. It's the high floor in that regard, but I think there's enough of a ceiling there too that he can be something more. You know, he can be enough of a difference maker after the catch too. Like he just has that natural kind of feel for the receiver position without being like unathletic enough to not make a, you know, a big time contribution either. He just gets the job done, and I love those kind of receivers that just plug and play like that in instant production that lasts for a long time.
Yeah, and I love Jalen Polk. He made my top 10 list of receivers that I've kind of earmarked for the Bears. So I think he's a guy, and he ran a 4.52, but his aggressiveness in terms of the catch point, being able to go up there and make catches, you know, with defenders bearing down on him, and it just I say he's got a dog mentality in him. So Jalen Polk is a guy I absolutely love. The other Washington receiver, but just to I'll give a different name here, another guy that down at Mobile really to me stood out. And a guy that I think is not getting enough pub. Now, he might go in the second round. He might not be available there for the Bears, but Ricky Pearsall from Florida is a receiver from. I absolutely think this kid has a chance to be really, really good. The next level, 6'1", 189. The kid's athletic as heck. Ran a 4.4, 140, 157, 10-yard split. You know, 42-inch vertical, and you know his ability to go up and make the contested catch. You talked about here with Jalen Polk earlier. Another one that goes up there and just, you know, on those, you know, 50-50 balls, goes up there and makes a play on the ball. Natural hands catcher, and his route running, his ability to sink his hips and create separation at the top of his route is something that really caught my eye. Now, obviously, he was an Arizona State transfer, played with Jaden Daniels at Arizona State, and went to Florida for a couple of years. But I think he's a guy that really is, in that second round range, probably is where he's going to be targeted here. And I think he's a guy that's got a chance to come out and really, you know, his presence felt in that first year, maybe like a Puka Nacua kind of presence. That's how good of a receiver I think he is.
Every year at the Senior Bowl, there's always like one or two of those receivers that are just uncoverable all week. You know, like last year was Tank Dell for sure. And this year it was Ladd McConkey and then it was Ricky Pearsall. Like, right. Like those are just guys that stood out instantly as like, oh, that's a different kind of receiver than any of these other guys here. Like, and I don't think even Pearsall is going to be, I know you didn't say this, but like some people say, oh, he's got to be a slot guy or whatever. Like, I don't think he's going to be limited as a slot receiver in the NFL at all. Like, especially you put him in a little bit of motion so he can get more free releases from the line of scrimmage. Like, yeah, I'm a little worried about him getting jammed up by more physical cornerbacks out there, but any good offensive coach can find ways to work through that. And plus, like, NFL strength program and further, like, development, like, I think he'll be just fine anywhere on your offense.
Right. Plus, he's got the quickness at the line of scrimmage to get off the release real quick and kind of avoid that jam. But, yeah, he's got to get stronger at the line of scrimmage for sure. But, yeah, I think he could play all three positions in terms of where you line him up in the offense for sure.
Great stuff, gentlemen. Lauren, I just want to issue a public thank you for all the work that you did when we were first started on the Barroom Network. You, along with Shane and Phil and Jose Cotto, were some of the first-time contributors to the site, and Lauren helped me so much with building the infrastructure. So many, many thanks to you, and I'm so happy for all of your success. We'll be taking a look tomorrow to see what the new announcement is.
Likewise, although it was fun then, it's fun now, and I've been happy to see the Barroom continue to have great success. So anytime you want to have me back on, I'm happy to do it.
Thank you, brother. Take care.
Thanks, Lauren. Good luck.
He is Lauren Cox, and he is an unbelievable great guy. All right, so I'm going to run a quick commercial. Danny and I will get set up for our next discussion, which is going to be, we're going to delve into what the free agency situation is with the Chicago Bears. Maybe talk a little bit about what could potentially happen. Take a look at the NFC North and evaluate what they've done so far. And then we'll answer your questions. I know J2K has got a lot of draft questions, so we'll try to tackle some of his as well. We'll be right back after this.
Right now, Justin Fields, probably at his best, is a B quarterback in the NFL. I think you're lucky if you get a 50-50 return on a franchise quarterback if you're going to pick him in the top three or five. And so that's why I think I'd much rather build a great team around a B quarterback than jettison yet another quarterback and draft Caleb Williams and hope that he's the guy.
Money, 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 money. The Bears have a lot of it, but have not yet made that big free agent splash signing a lot of us fans would like to see. Danny, let me take a quick look at the board here. I got this from overthecap.com just a couple of hours ago. The Bears are in fourth in terms of cap space available at $44.3 million. Now, these numbers are always never quite accurate because there's some reporting that's late and stuff, but this still gives you an indication that the Bears are among the leaders in terms of cap space available. And just for giggles sake, the Lions are at $26 million, the Packers at $21 million, and the Vikings at $13 million. So I'll start with this question to you and those in the chat. Do you think that the Bears by now should have made a big free agent splash signing, Danielle Hunter? He signed, what, a $48 million contract with 47 of it guaranteed? It's almost unheard of, but you can kind of see the value there. Or some other big splash signing would you have liked to have seen?
I mean, it doesn't have to be a splash signing. I mean, you know, Hunter would have been a nice fit. I think that contract was 49 with 48 guaranteed. I think he got 24 million pretty much a year, which it's free agency, right? The cap went up unexpectedly about 30 some million right before free agency started. So, you know, some teams had some cash flow in there, and Hunter was a guy I did really intrigued me in terms of a guy opposite of Montez Sweat, but he's also a guy that, you know, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's missed two of the last three seasons. And last year was, you know, first full healthy year in a while. And I think he had 16 and a half sacks. So it's a guy that you know, for me, he's 29, you know, it could be on a downhill spiral of his career, but it's a 2-year contract. So, you know, it wasn't a that big of a long-term investment. So, but unfortunately it didn't work out. My biggest thing is, you know, they come out with the first two signings are safety and running back. And if you guys know me, you know, those are the two positions that I don't want to spend money on. Now, having said that, Kevin Byard is a veteran, 30-year-old, 2-time all pro safety, is a good veteran replacement for Eddie Jackson. They didn't break the bank on him. So that doesn't bother me, that signing. The DeAndre Swift, good, solid running back, you know, hasn't had a 1,000-yard season until last year. The first year I ever had 1,049. This year, nowadays in the NFL, it seems like running backs roll out of bed and they run for 1,000 yards. So 1,000 yards was the first time last year. Now, he is a better pass catcher out of the backfield than some of them who they currently have on the roster. He is a guy that in terms of his vision is one cut, you know, plant and hit the field, you know, hit the upfield in terms of that wide zone or inside zone. He fits that scheme, that running style pretty nicely. But again, I just harken back to, and hopefully you guys remember this, a couple years ago when the Lions were on Hard Knocks and the running back coach, Deuce Daly, was yelling at DeAndre Swift because he was pitter-pattering to the line of scrimmage. He wasn't hitting it with enough gusto. He wasn't being aggressive. I just can't get that image off my head. And I just, to me, he's not a guy that I would see as a bell cow running back that I can give the ball 20, 25 times, give him, you know, and have him lead my offense. And I know he's going to be a guy who's going to share the load with Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson, but $8.5 million. And I know David Montgomery was not everyone liked David Montgomery, but, you know, he went to Detroit and I believe he got same amount of money. Guys, correct me if I'm wrong, in terms of the annual average, in terms of how much Montgomery's getting from Detroit. But he got 13 touchdowns last year. And I think he's a guy that, you know, so you trade DeAndre Swift for David Montgomery in a roundabout way. And I just – it doesn't do anything for me, right? And then you give him this kid $8.5 million. So, you know, you talked about a splash. My thing is, and although you know me, I want offensive defensive linemen. And you have a huge, huge question marks in the middle of that offensive line. And I know Ryan Bates was brought in here for a fifth-round pick, which after what happened in Buffalo, the purging that's going on in Buffalo, you wonder, did they give up a fifth-round pick for a guy that was going to possibly get cut? But again, you know, assuming he, you know, they didn't get, you know, bamboozled there. You know, Ryan Bates is a guy that's a replacement for Cody Whitehair, a guy, a veteran that can come in there and you know, back up all three interior positions. So that's who I look at. I don't see him as a starter for 17 games. Now, maybe they address that position in the draft, and that could very well be the case, right? That pick 73 or 75 in the third round, if they don't, you know, trade and get more picks, that could be a prime position for an interior offensive lineman. So they could address that there. The defensive line, it does worry me. The defensive line, you lost Justin Jones, and you know, say what you want to say about Justin Jones. At last year, second half of the year, when Montez Sweat was brought aboard, you saw Justin Jones winning his one-on-ones. You saw Justin Jones affecting, you know, the run game. You saw Justin Jones even get some sacks as well. And he got $30 million from Arizona. So, you know, you have to replace him. And right now, that, you know, they're not doing that. Now, again, like Lauren said earlier in our interview, it's early on. So you don't want to just sit there and be like, oh, you know, because teams that come out and just throw all this money at players first, second days of free agency, typically those teams don't have any, you know, sustained success. So, you know, hopefully Ryan Poles has something cooking. You know, I just don't know if there's anybody out there right now in terms of free agent wise that you want to go in and make it considered a big splash, right? We walked in or last week we talked about it, Aldo, you and I, in terms of the need, right? We talked about edge, defensive tackle, you know, interior offensive lineman, receiver, you know, more like a number three receiver for some quality depth. And we talked about a tight end and also a safety. Well, they took care of the safety. They took care of the tight end. Gerald Everett, I think that's a nice, solid compliment to Cole Kmet, a guy who coming out of Liberty was basically a big receiver. He's a guy who's got experience with Shane Waldron back to his days with the Rams. And then I think 1 year they kind of crossed paths in Seattle. So, you know, he's a guy that's going to be a nice compliment. He's more of like a big receiver. He's a guy that not going to be lined up, you know, in line, but he's going to be split out wide. So that's something we were looking for. And I think he's a solid for about $12 million for 2 years. I think that's a reasonable get there as well. So I think they filled a couple of needs, but for me, the big splash, it's got to be off in the defensive line. I just don't know who's out there, you know, who's still available that you can consider it a big splash. I know DJ Wonnum, defensive end from Minnesota, was scheduled to meet with the Panthers today. He's supposed to be in here tomorrow. Wonnum is a guy that fits the profile, if you will, for the Bears. He's a tall, long defensive end, 6'5", 250 pounds, a 34-plus inch arms coming out of South Carolina. You know, he's a guy that whenever you watch a Daniel Hunter highlights, you always see Wonnum there in the picture as well. So he's a guy, 8 sacks last year. He's got an up and down career with Minnesota. He had 8 sacks last year, I believe, at like 2 or 3 previous year, and 8 sacks 2 years ago, you know, prior to that too. So a young guy, developing guy. So I think he's a guy that could be an answer there. But is he a long-term answer? You know, who knows? But, you know, so that's the thing. It's like, you know, who's out there left now for anyone to be considering it a splash signing?
Yeah, the splash signing opportunities might have gone. Now, Mike Williams of the Chargers was released today. He's coming off an ACL injury. He's had kind of an injury-riddled career. But he could be a perfect complement to DJ Moore if the Bears want to pursue him. The Chargers really released him because they are over the cap and needed to get compliant by 3 p.m. today, which is what they did. So the word is that they want to try to renegotiate with him and bring him back. But maybe that could be the splash signing because those two wide receivers, Moore and Williams, would be such a for whoever the quarterback is for the Bears, that would be really great. What do you think?
Yeah, Williams is a heck of a receiver. Williams' problem is staying healthy, right? And you just talked about he's coming off an ACL, and prior to that, he always has, you know, battling nicks and injuries. And even with DeAndre Swift, I know one of the things with DeAndre Swift, he's always battling little like hamstrings or muscle pulls or ankles or anything like that. So, you know, that's the thing is, I think it was John Fox who coined the phrase, the best ability is availability, right? And that's the thing with Mike Williams, heck of a talented receiver. Yes, would be a perfect complement to DJ Moore. But again, coming off an ACL, right? So that usually takes about 12 months for them to fully recover. I believe he tore that in October, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been midseason. It might have been sooner than that. I'm not sure. But, you know, again, he's coming off of that. And, you know, a guy doesn't always, you know, stay on the field, doesn't stay healthy. So I would like to bring in someone. For me, I think they're going to draft a receiver. I think whether it's they stay at 9 and get one of those top 3 receivers or they trade that pick and move down in the first round. I think they're gonna end up getting a receiver in the first or second round if they get those kind of picks. So, you know, so my thing is you got to go get some veterans here because all you have is basically DJ Moore, Tyler Scott, and you got a couple of other guys on the roster, and that's it, right? So, you know, maybe a receiver, and I've highlighted a couple of receivers that I want them to kind of look at, and one of them is Tyler Boyd. Now today there's rumors that you know him and the Steelers are in conversation right now. Steelers traded away Deontay Johnson. Boyd went to Pittsburgh for college, so that could be a guy that you know could go back home, if you will, to Pitt there. So KJ Osborne from Minnesota, was as a number three receiver. Again, not a guy that's going to come in here and be your starter, but a guy as a number three receiver, you know, 540 yards last year, 11.3 yards reception, 3 touchdowns, 15 touchdowns in 4 seasons in Minnesota. He's quietly been a productive number three receiver in Minnesota. But, so those are the kind of guys out there right now. If you're looking at, you know, who you bring in. But again, just a veteran that could be a reliable pass catcher. Because again, you're going to need some options here for, like I said, whoever the quarterback is, right? Whether it's Caleb or if it's Justin or if it's another rookie to be named later. So, you know, you got to bring in more weapons. And then obviously just, again, fortify the interior of that offensive line is where I'm looking for offensively for them to go ahead and improve, hopefully, this rest of this offseason.
Couple of people have in the chat have mentioned Arik Armstead from the 49ers. He's available out there still. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, Armstead is another guy that for me was 17th overall pick in the draft. I believe that was in 2017 or something like that. And he's really been up and down, never made a Pro Bowl. He's pretty much been a bust, if you will. Had 5 sacks last year, 4 tackles for loss, 13 quarterback hits. But his best season came in 2019 when he had 10 sacks and 11 tackles for loss. So last I heard was he's very much rumored to be heading towards Buffalo. So we'll see what happens with Arik Armstead. But, in terms of an interior guy, DJ Reader is from Cincinnati, is a guy, not a big pass rusher, but he's a hell of a run stopper. And if you're going to fortify the run defense, that's a guy you could look at. Now he's visiting Detroit today, but he's coming off of a quad injury too. So not a sexy name. Guy that doesn't really flash in terms of sack numbers and all that stuff. But again, someone that's going to block and clog up that interior, that defensive line, allow your linebackers to go and make big plays, and hopefully your edge guys to go ahead and collapse on the quarterback. So, but if you're talking about edge guys, we talked about DJ Wanham, right? A guy that's coming in tomorrow for a visit. Emmanuel Ogba is another guy out there. He's a veteran, about 30 years old. He's more of a bigger bruiser type of, not a speed guy. A guy that's a little bit, I thought it was older than what he is. Actually, he's only 28 years old, and that's Carl Lawson from the Jets. Only played 6 games last year, got injured. But this is a guy that's been productive year in, year out in terms of getting after the quarterback, getting sack numbers. Again, he doesn't fit the profile in terms of what the Bears like in their defensive linemen or edge guys, so that might not be a fit. So, looking at the free agents, these are some of the guys I pulled up. But then I started going in and said, all right, what is out there in terms of possible trades? Okay. And this is where I got into my little bag of tricks here, Aldo. And this is where it gets a little dangerous when I get into my bag of tricks, right?
So stay away.
I pull out stuff that may never happen, but just hear me out here, right?
Sure.
The Eagles just signed Bryce Huff away from the Jets. And that's a guy I was hoping the Bears would go after. 10 sacks last year, it limited them a role. So, they have a couple of guys that one of them could be available for action. And they gave Hassan Reddick the opportunity, his agent, to go and negotiate a trade. Okay. Again, Reddick doesn't fit the profile in terms of length and size and all that stuff. He's only 6'1", 240. He's got sub 33-inch arms coming out of college. But this is a back-to-back Pro Bowl player. And we're talking about a guy that just comes off the edge and gets you sacks. It's 2022, 16 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, 26 quarterback hits, 5 forced fumbles. Last year, some call it a down season. He had 11 sacks, 13 tackles for loss, 23 quarterback hits. What will it take to get Hassan Reddick away from the Eagles, right? And if they want to keep him, because remember, Vic Fangio now is their defensive coordinator, so he likes more of those – outside 3-4 outside linebackers, and Reddick fits that profile. The guy opposite of him, Josh Sweat, is more of a hands in the ground defensive end that Eberflus and company like. 6'5", 265, came out of Florida State as a freak athlete. They had a 39.5-inch vertical, 34-plus-inch arm length, all the measurables that Eberflus likes. 4.53 40, 1.55 10-yard split. Last year he had 6.5 sacks, 7 tackles for loss, 23 quarterback hits. Previous year had 11 sacks, 15 tackles for loss, 23 quarterback hits. So, do you want the double sweat coming off of either edge? You have Montez and Josh. That can be too much sweat. Who knows? But these are the kind of guys that I start thinking about. Like, all right, Josh Sweat could be an ideal trade partner here. But again, you're talking about going in and prying away a player from and not giving up draft capital. I'm assuming with the picks they have this year, they probably won't be trading away from this draft capital now, unless they trade down and they get extra picks. But maybe they dip into next year's draft, stash, and they can pry away one of these pass rushers from Philadelphia. So that's how it is now in terms of edge rushers that are available on the market. There really isn't big name guys. There's guys that can come in and maybe fill in for a year or two. But if you want to do like something long term, you'd have to draft them or maybe go get one of these guys from Philadelphia.
Great questions coming in the chat. Keep them coming. I've got them in the queue. We'll get to them momentarily. Danny, today there was an interview. Rich Eisen was talking to Albert Breer. And basically he said that he was talking about the New York Giants and commenting that the Giants have reached out to the top teams at the draft. In fact, I isolated exactly what he said 2 separate times in this clip that was floating around on social media. Here it is.
What are you hearing about the Giants playing a quarterback?
Andrew Thomas at left tackle, they spent a top 10 pick on Evan Neal. Like, they've invested in the lines of scrimmage, and that's the foundation here. And it puts them in position to go and support a young quarterback. No question about it. And they are, I can say this, one of the teams that has inquired with teams in the top three about a move up. Doesn't mean it's going to happen,
right?
But they've inquired with teams about doing that. It's, they've actually investigated moving up and seeing what it might take to get up into that top three.
So I'm going to assume, and I think most people would assume, that if they're talking to teams in the top three, that includes the Chicago Bears. So perhaps they're just maybe total speculation on my part. Perhaps they're throwing around some trade scenarios. The Giants don't have a lot in terms of draft picks this year, but they do have the 6th overall pick. They've got the 47th overall pick in this year's draft, the 70th pick. And, of course, they've got their top picks from next year. And then they've got some interesting players on the roster. I was thinking perhaps they might want to target Dexter Lawrence. Could you potentially see the Chicago Bears trading with the Giants, trading their number one overall pick to the Giants for a player like Dexter Lawrence or the pass rusher Kayon Thibodeau and a bunch of draft assets? Could you potentially see a trade like that?
I would be shocked if Ryan Poles went from 1 to 6, because he pretty much then eliminates himself getting a quarterback. Right now, unless he says I'm all in on Justin. Justin's right. Which that's the thing, is like that press conference at the combine, really just when he said I'm going to do right by Justin, that really told the NFL that he's looking to move on from Justin. And I think that's what killed Justin's trade value, because everyone's saying, what are we going to give you a second round pick if you're going to end up maybe giving it to us for a 5th round pick, because you're going to be desperate to trade him. So unless he does a above face and says, I'm going with Justin, and we're gonna drop down to 6. We're gonna take Dexter Lawrence. We're gonna take your, you know, what is it, 47, which I believe is second round pick. I believe that is, because they already traded one of the second round picks to Carolina for the pass rusher from Burns. So I believe that they had extra second round pick from the Seattle trade. So I think they have, so you know, you get that 6th pick, you get the 2nd pick, you get their 3rd round pick, you get the next 2 first, second round picks. You know, they can give you a package that could just make Ryan Poles' eyes pop out, right? So let's talk about it. 1st and 2nd round picks this year, 1st, 2nd round picks next year, 1st, 2nd round picks in 3 years in a row, and Dexter Lawrence. Now you drop down to 6. Now if you're Ryan Poles and company, say, all right, can I keep Justin Fields and roll with Justin Fields? And then at 6, you can get one of the best receivers out there, whether it's Malik Nabers, whether it's Roma Duse. If some miracle happens and then, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. falls down 6, now you're rolling with and this is what I'm talking about in terms of, For the Bears as an organization, the best practice would be to go ahead and build around Justin with a bunch of these picks, bunch of young players, right? Now, obviously, you have to hit on these picks, right? You can't bust on these picks. And a guy like Dexter Lawrence to fortify the defensive line, that would be to me a home run, you know, kind of a trade. But again, you have to then put your belief in Justin Fields. You have to then, you know, get the capital that we're talking about here. You know, will the Giants offer the 1st, 2nd round picks for the next 3 years to move up and get one of these quarterbacks? Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. But I just, unless that kind of a crazy ass offer comes in, I don't see Ryan Poles going that far down. I do see Ryan Poles, you know, sitting there and saying, all right, do I like Caleb Williams or do I like Jaden Daniels? You know, if Washington gives them, you know, a crazy amount of draft picks, obviously not that big of a haul because they're not moving up, you know, down 5 spots. You could possibly see, if they like Jaden Daniels that much, you could see them moving down 1 spot, picking Jaden Daniels and saying, you know what, if we're not getting anything for Justin, I can roll with Jaden Daniels on the bench for a year, develop behind Justin, let Justin go out there and improve his stock. And the next year we can trade Justin and get maybe a 1st or maybe a 2nd round pick for him. And then let Jaden Daniels kind of roll. I can see that happening as well. So.
Yeah. And to be clear, you know, that scenario with the Giants would be with the intention of trading the 1 overall pick and keeping Justin Fields and doing what I think have been advocating for months now. And I have agreed with that, which is let's build a real team around our current quarterback, Justin Fields. That, you know, in terms of developing a quarterback, that's the 1 thing you can do, is give him weapons, you know, to throw the ball, and these guys yak. I think that the Bears have started that. The second tight end that they've added now to play alongside Cole Kmet, Gerald Everett, is a great yak. Oops, there's our poll. Is a great yak receiver. You see him catch the ball, and he is very, very difficult to bring down. DeAndre Swift, I think, Danny, that he's going to be the third down back with the Chicago Bears. I really believe that Roschon Johnson is going to be your first and second down back, and Swift, with his excellent pass-catching hands, is going to be that pass-catching quarterback. Why are you laughing?
You asked me for a third down back, Aldo?
You know what? If they produce, he got 1,000 all-purpose yards last year. If he gives me 1,000 all-purpose yards for running back, plus you got to take into account that the salary cap just went up by almost $40 million, and there's expectations. You know how annually it would go up about $10 million, and then COVID interrupted that, but now it's up to $30 million, and there's expectations that it's not going to go back to $10 million per season, that it's going to be more like 15, 20, 25 million. And so the money is there. The contracts that we're disagreeing with now in terms of the amount, a year or two from now, they're no longer a big deal. Mahomes was no longer the highest paid quarterback after a couple of seasons.
Yeah, and I agree. I totally agree with you. I mean, they're talking about giving Tua $50 million a year in Miami. I mean, that made me just lose my lunch last week. I mean, for Tua talking about Lowe. Right, but I agree with you. The money is just crazy. But I think Swift is your starter. I think he's your starter. He's obviously – he's a 17 of 15 kind of touches a game guy. Then you got Roschon in there. You got to get Khalil Herbert in there. He's not a bell cow guy. So you'll see Roschon in there. You will see Khalil Herbert in there as well. So I think they put too much in there for Swift to be a backup. You know, but yeah, I mean, in terms of, you know, Gerald Everett talked about earlier, I think he's a nice, very, we talked about getting this type of a tight end opposite of Cole Kmet to complement him. I think this is a good beginning. Now we need a big X receiver outside. We need a nice slot receiver on the inside. So yeah, you just keep adding the weapons and you know with your point. Yeah, if you could just build this team around Justin, and my concern, and I'm posing this question to you, Aldo, and I'm curious to see what the fans think in the chat. Is it now with Justin gotten to the point of no return? Has it been put out there now with the media and all this stuff, and that he has that the NFL is talking about, you know, he's not really a starter and all this crap that the media is trying to, you know, drum up stuff out there. Has it gotten to the point of no return with Justin, or do you think that they could salvage this if they do decide Justin's our quarterback, we're going to trade the pick?
There's definitely the danger of that. And so my hope is that Ryan Poles isn't going to bungle this like he did. I agree with you. The comments that made at the combine didn't work for Justin Fields trade market, but perhaps he never intended really to trade Justin Fields. But what I'm hoping, he did say this at the combine, he's in constant communication with Justin. He's keeping him appraised of things, that he's being transparent. It could be that the messages for the last 2-3 weeks are, doesn't look like we're going to make a move here. Anything is possible, Justin, but we are happy with you being the number one and encouraging him and lifting him up. That's possible. That's what I would do if I was the leader of the organization and I was confronted with this situation where I've got a quarterback who I feel can be developed. And like Peter King said in the Greg Gabriel interview, he's a B-level quarterback, but maybe if you surround him with more assets that he can develop into an A quarterback. And so you've got that situation where you need to keep him happy in case everything falls apart and he's your quarterback if you really were trying to trade and so on. So, you know, I don't think it's irreparable, to answer your question.
I hope you're right, because I just think in this day of age with the athlete nowadays and social media, I think it sometimes gets out of hand. Like the ball comes rolling down the hill, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's a huge ass snowball, and everything is wiped out. So hopefully you're right. But going back to that Peter King, and that's a tip of the cap to you and Greg, and in terms of, you know, Peter put it so eloquently that what I've been trying to say for the whole year, and just Peter just nailed it. I'm like, dude, how did you do that? But yes, Justin is right now a B quarterback, and then but he's still developing. He's got it's not like he's done. That's it. He's a B. That's all he's going to be. He's a guy that could develop into an A-, an A quarterback. And now you put all those assets around him with the receivers and an offensive line and a running back and now a defense to help support him. Then you can win with him. And that's what I've been trying to say. And I think the only way you could do that is you trade the first overall pick, get all these draft capital, and you build around him. So I love the way Peter put it. That was just excellent and just perfectly put.
Yeah, that was a great interview. If you have not seen Greg Gabriel's interview with Peter King, please check it out. I think you'll find it fascinating. You're going to learn about his career, but the 5 minutes, 10 minutes or so that he talked about the Chicago Bears were fascinating stuff. All right, so let's take a look at what some of the other teams in the division have done. We got Don Burr in the audience, so let's start with the Detroit Lions. They haven't done shit. Let's go to the Packers. No. the Lions added defensive end Marcus Davenport, who has never really lived up to his pre-draft hype. But this is, in my opinion, a really good acquisition via trade, and that's Carlton Davis. These are the two, at least, official announcements that I saw on their website an hour before we started our show. What are your thoughts on these two acquisitions for the Lions?
I think they're solid acquisitions, right? Marcus Davenport's going to be a rotational guy at the end of the defense. He's a guy that, again, like you said, hasn't really lived up to that first-round status, but he's a solid guy. He'll get you, you know, 5, 6, 7 sacks. He'll play a physical brand of football, kind of going hand-in-hand with what Detroit does. Carlton Davis was overpaid a couple of years ago by the Buccaneers. He's a okay corner. I saw his comments say in terms of what is Detroit getting. He said a shutdown corner. Carlton Davis, I'm sorry, but you are not a shutdown corner. He's a guy that actually his play for me has degressed over the last couple of years. So injuries did play a part of that as well. So we'll see how it goes. But it is something that I believe it is a bit of an upgrade for them in the secondary at cornerbacks. I think they were actually involved in the Jerry Snead talks, the KC corner, mm-hmm. who I think that would have been a huge pickup for them. But obviously, I think they might be out of that now. You know, they signed a couple of, you know, Emmanuel Mosley, they re-signed. A guy, unfortunately, seems like every year he's tearing an ACL. Amik Robertson is a undersized, you know, corner that's got some spunk to him. So he's a, you know, decent guy there. Graham Glasgow, they've traded him, brought him back. They re-signed him. And then the big thing is, and again, DJ Reader is there today visiting. He's a big, big guy in the middle defensive line. If he signs there, that's just going to fortify that defensive front. Again, yes. Not a guy that's going to get a lot of pressure on a quarterback per se, but he does help clear up the pocket, and he just stuffs the run. So that would be a huge get if they go ahead and complete that deal tonight.
Yeah, good stuff. Packers additions. Again, the big two major acquisitions were signing former Raider Josh Jacobs to take over for Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones was released about an hour after news came out that Jacobs was going to be a Packer. And then one of the best safeties, if not the best safety, was on the market, Xavier McKinney. And Darnell Savage is now a former Packer. What are your thoughts on these two acquisitions and any others that you have there on your notes?
One thing, just if you guys didn't or you realize this, but just this example here tells you how cutthroat and cold-hearted the NFL can be. Aaron Jones fought through a hamstring injury most of last year to come back towards the end of that season. And he played phenomenal football towards the end of that season, going into the playoffs. And he was a heart and soul of that team. And he carried that team for the most part until Jordan Love started putting up some numbers there with his receiver. So, and for him to get cut like that unceremoniously really just sucks. But this is the NFL. This is the unfortunate part. Now, the good thing for him is he signed with Minnesota. He's going to go up there and face Green Bay twice a year so he can get some revenge on them. But yes. Josh Jacobs to me is – I guess people might think he's an upgrade over Aaron Jones, but man, Aaron Jones healthy is a damn good running back. I don't think it's that much of an upgrade there, right?
I don't think it is at all.
Yeah, and Aaron Jones, I mean, just watching him play against the Bears twice a year, he was a pest as a runner, as a blocker, as a pass catcher out of the backfield. And while Josh Jacobs is a talented runner, it's not an upgrade, right? It might be even a wash, if you will, right? I don't even think Jacobs is that great of a pass catcher as compare him to Aaron Jones out of the backfield. So we'll see how that plays out. Xavier McKinney is an upgrade. That's an upgrade for their defense secondary. Darnell Savage was a guy that gave up a lot of big plays in the back. McKinney, is a guy that does get a lot of interceptions. He's a ball hawking safety. So that is a good pickup there for them too. So other guys, I mean, nothing really other sticks out for me in terms of what else they did in terms of free agent signings.
All right, so then let us take a look at the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, the big news is that they've moved on from Kirk Cousins, something that they didn't really want. But Cousins was offered $100 million guaranteed down in Atlanta, and with the weapons that they have down there, he had to jump on that. So They've added, as you mentioned, Aaron Jones, Blake Cashman, a linebacker edge guy, was pretty good. A guy that I really was looking at for the Chicago Bears, Andrew Van Ginkle, the former Dolphin, Jonathan Grenard. I know a guy that you brought up last week when we talked free agents. And quarterback Sam Darnold, who I highly, highly doubt is going to be the starting quarterback for the Vikings. And of course, our old friend Jonathan Bullard, who played with the Bears for a couple of seasons.
Yeah, Minnesota looks like they're in a rebuild on a fly kind of mode, right? I mean, they put all the money into their defense. Obviously, you know, with they pretty much swapped out Grenard for Danielle Hunter, right? Hunter was their guy, and they, you know, they drafted him, and then they let him go walk to, Houston, and then they picked up, you know, Grenard, who you know is a guy I was eyeing, but you know, not at that type of money that I got. I believe he got, what was it, almost 20 million a year. I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but I think 4 years, 76 million, what it came out to, almost, you know, 17, 18 million a year. For a guy who's really done it just 1 year. He just had it that 1 year last year. So, you know, could I have been just a free agent, outfit there that way he can, you know, turn it up for us last year, who knows, but young guy, definitely on the rise. Andrew Van Ginkle is a guy that, you know, they play a 3-4, you know, defense. So I think Van Ginkle fits that scheme perfectly, right? So I think he's a guy that, you know, we see him with Miami. He's a guy that, one of those try-hard guys that's you know, sneaky athletic, that has a knack for getting after the quarterback. So I think defensively they've really upgraded and gotten better, right? And obviously Aaron Jones, I think, you know, is going to be a big plus for them in the backfield. I mean, they got pretty much nothing from the running attack last year. I think just adding Aaron Jones, a healthy Aaron Jones, is good. And Blake Cashman is an underrated linebacker that they got from the Texans as well. So I think defensively they're going to be a solid team. And now the big question is Sam Darnold. Now, I know you said that he's not going to be the starter. You know, they're number 11 in the draft. And you know, if these guys are talking about going up to number, you know, three to get one of those top three quarterbacks, that's a huge haul. And I don't know if they're going to do that, but you know, now we're seeing, you know, if things shake out at the free agency, if you know, J.J. McCarthy, a Bo Nix, one of those quarterbacks is out there at number nine, you know, the Vikings are a team to keep in mind for the Bears maybe to trade down with, you know, as is Denver at 12, as is the Raiders possibly at 13. You know, there are other teams that, you know, a little bit down that could come up and get a quarterback. So, you know, McCarthy is the guy they talk about. You know, New York has been rumored to be in a McCarthy at number six, the Giants, that is. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, they talked about them trying to move up to the top three. So, you know, will they, if they can't get to top three and they stay at six, will they pull a trigger on a McCarthy? We'll see what happens. But, you know, Minnesota is a team that's going to be looking for their next quarterback. So, I you know, if they're going to – they might be a time that they might say, all right, number nine, you know, McCarthy's here. We're going to jump up. And so that could be a trade partner for the Bears. So keep that in mind there. But, yeah, I mean, Minnesota, to me, defensively, I think they're going to be solid. Offensively, it's a big question mark, right? You know, Darnold is a guy that for some reason – coaches still have faith in Sam Darnold. They feel like they can save him. And you know, I've never been a really big fan of him. Come out of USC. I think he had questions about him. He hasn't really put it together. I know they somehow give him all these excuses in terms of the situation he was at with the Jets. The Carolina was the same thing. You know, obviously for 49ers, he was just a backup there. So we'll see how that goes. Now, Kevin O'Connell is a heck of an offensive play caller, heck of a coach. So, you know, if he's a guy that could take Darnold and kind of put him in spots where he kind of does what he does best and build the offense around him, you know, that could work out for him. But, you know, build the whole, you know, attack off of that running game with Aaron Jones and whoever they draft in the draft, and then and just let Darnold not kill you, and then, you know, bring in a rookie quarterback and develop him. So we'll see how things go. But definitely a team in transition in Minnesota. I still think they're going to have a strong defense led by Brian Flores. And now offensively, you just don't know what they're going to get based off of their quarterback.
Good stuff, Danny. So would you be upset if the Vikings came with an attractive offer for Justin Fields? Where would you go? Where would you be? As soon as the phone rings, you say, not interested? As soon as they mention Fields?
All right, man. It's got to be a hell of an offer. What are they going to be offering me, right? I mean, offering me just a second-round pick, and you're going to face a guy twice a year in your division that could develop into a damn good quarterback and going to have that hunger in his eyes to come back and you know, stick it to you. That'd be a hard, I mean, they're gonna have to come out hard with what they want in terms of what they're giving me for Justin Fields. But again, I don't know if he's a fit for this, for Colvin O'Connell. But again, yes, I should talk about him being a innovative play caller. And I think Kevin O'Connell, given a talented player like Justin Fields, I think he could find a way to make him fit, make him work. So that would intrigue me if I'm Minnesota and getting Justin Fields in there and being, you know that quarterback that Kevin O'Connell builds his offense around. So, but again, in terms of the Bears side, that'd be hard, man, because if he develops into what you think he could develop into, facing him twice a year in division, that'd be rough to see, especially if the guy you pick busts out. Mm-hmm. You know,
and I thought when you talked with Lauren about, you know, the concerns with Caleb Williams being similar to the concerns we have seen with Justin Fields. So with that in mind, do you think O'Connell would be interested in Caleb Williams?
I think with Caleb Williams, what he does, he's in college, right? He plays in this system where it's Cliff Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator last year. Well, I should say Lincoln Riley, his offensive coordinator, the head coach at USC. And a lot of times in the last year, going off of his last year's tape, the offensive weapons weren't what they were. The offensive line wasn't what it was the year prior to that. So a lot of times he had to kind of, you know, I think he kind of started hearing footsteps and just trying to, you know, play hero ball and try and make things happen. A lot of times his defense was horrible. I mean, I forgot what their ranking was in college football. It was one of the worst, you know, defense teams all the time. So he was always chasing points, it felt like. So I think he felt like the pressure was on him to kind of make big plays and not take the easy check downs and all. That's a habit he fell into. I think you can coach out of him. I don't think it's a permanent issue with him, right? I mean, Mahomes had worse tape coming out of Texas Tech. I mean, I watched mm-hmm. Mahomes tape and I'm like, this kid is all over the place with his mechanics, with his decision making. I mean, he would throw in triple coverage when there's no reason to throw. There's a guy underneath and right in front of him. He throws in triple coverage downfield. This is Mahomes coming out of Texas Tech. But you coach him up and you get him, you know, with someone that knows what he's doing in terms of offensively. And I think Kevin O'Connell would you know, get that out of him, would fix Caleb Williams. That's the other concern I have with the Bears is Shane Waldron. Yeah, I like the hire. He's a guy that's been calling offensive plays for the last 3 years in the NFL. But is he a guy that's going to be able to develop, you know, a Caleb Williams? Is he going to be able to get Caleb Williams out of those bad habits? You know, we don't know. We haven't seen it yet. So that's mm-hmm. that's another big question, because the last thing you want to do is draft another, you know, a quarterback high and have him fail because you didn't have enough coaching or enough infrastructure around him to go and help him succeed.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Okay. Let us turn to questions. Jaker has asked this. I should have asked it when Lauren is here, in case you don't know, but what type of offense did the new head coach or OC at Oklahoma run after Lincoln Riley left for USC and Caleb followed him? Was it a different offense than Riley ran? Does anybody know? I forgot the name of the coach.
It's the former defensive coordinator for Clemson, and his the name is the tip of my tongue.
Something with a B.
It's the former defensive coordinator for Clemson. They ran a spread offense. I'm not sure if it's like a Lincoln Riley esque or not, but Gabriel was the transfer from I want to say UCF that came in there, and Dylan Gabriel came in there, and he was running that offense the last couple of years. So I couldn't tell you if it's the same type of system, but it's more of a spread offense. As opposed to, you know, anything pro style or anything like that.
Yeah. I just feel like you said, you know, Caleb it's going to take some time for him to play that NFL high quality game. And, you know, if he can get into a situation, Caleb can, like Mahomes did with Kansas City, where you've got a offensive genius as the head coach and you've got weapons like a Tyreek Hill, and you can sit behind an Alex Smith who would gladly mentor him. He did gladly mentor him and teach him tons of stuff. I mean, that's part of the reason Mahomes is as great. It was a perfect storm of good things that happened to him. And I think that's what Caleb is going to need to play at a high level once he becomes an NFL starter.
But one of the theories out there is the Bears haven't signed any, because, you know, the big thing was maybe they'll go get Drew Lock, right? Drew Lock is a veteran. He was with mm-hmm. Shane Waldron the last couple of years, you know, had some moments last year when he started for injured Geno Smith. You know, maybe bring in a veteran. That would have been an indicator that the Bears are for sure going to be drafting a rookie quarterback. But, you know, they didn't do that. They brought in Brett Rippon, which, by the way, I think he's just a camp arm. He's not anyone that's going to be on the roster as any you know, chance of being on the roster. I think, you know, obviously, you know, do you bring in now with not bringing any other quarterbacks, I'm assuming, right? That you, are you going to be comfortable going if you do go the route of a rookie with a second year player and Tyson Bagent behind him and then a Brett Rypien as your quarterback? I mean, that's a lot of inexperience in your quarterback room. So, you know, that's there's some theories out there, like maybe they're not trading Justin Fields. So I don't know. It's
quite the mystery. We need Columbo. It's Columbo to walk in.
You know, Justin was saying, you know, a couple weeks ago, like, he just wants it to be over with. I mean, I think we all want it just to be over with. Like, one way or another, make a decision, go Justin, trade him or something, because this is becoming crazy now.
Yeah, it really is. All right, we got about a half dozen questions. Let's see if we can get through them. EV Warrior asks, I think Poles will sign Wonnum, one less position to worry about at the draft. It's not a question, it's a statement. And the reason I saved it is because I totally agree. I really think that this former Viking, DJ Wonnum, is the guy that Poles is going to target. You gave us a quick analysis of his play. What do you think about the chances of him coming to Chicago?
Yeah, as long as he can get out of Carolina. I mean, I think he's visiting Carolina tonight. So, he went to school at South Carolina. So he's a guy that, you know, coming out of South Carolina, he's a guy that had all the tools. He had the size, the length, the speed, the athletic ability. He just didn't have any sort of idea in terms of how to rush a passer. And he was undrafted free agent Minnesota got, and then they basically developed him, right? And now he did play opposite of Danielle Hunter. So, he had 8 sacks this past year. I think last year he had 4, and a year before that he had 8. So he's been a little inconsistent in his career, but he's a guy, again, he's got the length, he's got the size, good twitch. And again, whenever you watch Danielle Hunter highlights, and they're showing here on NFL Network, and they show him in signing with Texans, there's always 98 there making a play as well. So he's got that first step get off. Like I said, he's got the length and the size that you know, Eberflus likes. And now he's going to come here and play opposite of Montez Sweat. I think it would be a nice little consolation prize, if you will. I would still try and you know, get something maybe long term in the draft, depending on what you do with your draft capital. But again, I think it'd be a nice consolation prize compared to what you have out there right now, unless you go out there and make a trade for one of those Philadelphia guys like I talked about earlier.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The quickest way to fix all the Bears' problems right now is to trade the number one pick.
Okay.
I said it. Well, I mean,
and hit on those draft picks.
Absolutely. That's with that assumption. Absolutely. All right. Next question from our devoted followers here. It is from Jay Sanders. Justin Jefferson said he wants Justin Fields as his quarterback. That is correct. I forgot where Jefferson was being interviewed. I want to say up in Adams, and he spoke highly of Justin Fields. It seems like the vast majority of NFL players speak highly of Justin Fields. Sure. Yeah, you'll hear a comment every once in a while, we want him to play quarterback, but that's as much of an indictment on Getsy as it was on Justin Fields.
Right.
So again, what do you think about what Justin Jefferson said about?
Yeah, I'm sure Justin Jefferson would rather have Justin Fields as a quarterback as opposed to Sam Darnold. I mean, that's 100% accurate. I totally believe that. And that thing is, like, I brought this up in defense of Justin a couple of years ago, and I know some people have poo-pooed it, but you know, Justin going through that year, that two years ago when he only won what 3 games and they lost what 10 in a row, but there was a stretch where they scored, you know, 30 points 5 games in a row.
Yep.
Justin was voted a top 100 player by his NFL peers, right? That's a players only vote. And for a guy who's lost 10 games in a row, whose team sucks, and you know, because they basically saw him out there all by himself doing what he did. Now, again, you know, he didn't have much weapons around him. He had to do what he had to do, which is run the football. But he was, you know, he has a respect of the NFL players. I mean, he talked about even former players. I've seen Devin Hester talk about the Bears should build around Justin Fields. I've seen other ex-Bears players come on and say, build around Justin Fields. So, you know, he has the respect of his peers. It's just the media and I think, you know, to me, my personal opinion, Luke Getsy has a lot of friends around the NFL. Luke Getsy is very well connected. That's why he got a job real quick with the Raiders. And I think he's got some friends in the media as well. And I think they're trying to push some of the narrative that it wasn't all Luke Getsy's fault, that Justin Fields had a big hand in it too.
I'm with you there. All right, let's see. J2K, Danny Analdo, could J.J. McCarthy get drafted before our 9th pick and move down one of the 3 top receivers? And if so, would you double dip with Harrison Jr. and Odunze or or neighbors. So the idea is if one of those top three receivers were to fall and we pick Marvin Harrison Jr. at the top of the draft, because if we trade down a slot or two, so would you entertain the thought of drafting Marvin Harrison Jr. and Odunze Neighbors?
Two top 10 picks on receivers. I know we need receivers, but that's too rich for me, J2K. I mean, you already have DJ Moore. It's not like you're barren of receivers, right? So DJ Moore, and say you get Marvin Harrison Jr., I think you're set. Now you go get maybe another one in the third round or whatever, you know, a slot guy or a compliment guy to those two. But no, I would, if you get Marvin Harrison Jr. with that first pick and now, you know, sitting there at number nine, and, you know, if you're got, you know, receiver's not a need, quarterback's not a need. For me, it's offensive tackle, right? And I'm talking about Alt from Notre Dame or Fuanga from Oregon State. Those are my top two tackles. And Fuanga's a right tackle. And I know we just drafted Darnell Wright last year, but Wright can play guard. I kick him in the right guard, get Nate Davis out of there. Fuanga and Darnell Wright on the right side would fortify that offensive line. Now you have, you know, Brexton Jones and Tevin Jenkins on the left side. And now you got to fortify the middle with whether it's Ryan Bates or go get another center. But that's what I would do with that second pick, assuming those tackles are available. Now, you know, because the edge guys, you know, I like Dallas Turner for them. I love Latu from UCLA. I just think nine, it might be too rich for them. If you trade down from nine, then you can talk about some of the edge guys too. But I think in that spot, you got to go with the surefire guys, and the receivers and those offensive tackles for me are surefire.
Now, the first part of his question was about J.J. McCarthy. I've been seeing a lot of reports that he could end up being a top 10, maybe top 12 quarterback. I had him pegged as a early second round, late first round quarterback, but, you know, very esteemed draft evaluators are saying that he could go very early. What are your thoughts?
I believe it was on a Buffon 55 episode. I we were talking about quarterbacks, and I said J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the first round. I think both you and John kind of like said what? I'm like, yeah. they love J.J. They love his moxie. They love his makeup. They love his you know, I think he has that effect. Or they think, you know, he's a good solid athlete. He's got a solid size. You know, he's got a good, you know, NFL arm strength, and that they really do believe that system held him back. And, you know, it was a pro style system, so he's got a lot of the pro style concepts down, and he's very familiar with that kind of stuff. So, you know, he's been under center. So I think these are all positives for J.J. McCarthy, and in a league that's desperate for quarterbacks, you know, I've heard the Giants at number six. To me, that's super rich at number six for J.J. McCarthy. I mean, if that happens, I would be shocked, but you know, strange things have happened. So we'll see. But I mean, that's why you've heard things that him as high as number six. And again, that would be totally, totally shocking for me. But
I'm sorry. If they draft J.J. McCarthy, to me, they're going to get ridiculed because a lot of people, and maybe even myself, I don't know for sure yet, would liken him to Daniel Jones. You're just reaching for a quarterback, you know, and it's a guy that he shouldn't be a top 10 quarterback in my mind. I know that Jordan Silvera is probably having a heart attack right now. Kay asks about JJ's arm. He doesn't seem to have a strong arm. Is Kay wrong?
Well, he's got a above average arm. He doesn't have a strong arm like, say, you know, the top three guys. But he's got a you know, average to above average arm. He can make all NFL throws. You know, and he's got some zip on it as well. He can fit into to tight windows. So, you know, there are a couple of throws when you watch his tape at Michigan. You know, he's dipping it in between two defenders. So, you know, I think he can make those throws. He obviously doesn't have the big cannon of an arm. But I think it's average above average for sure.
Yeah, and when people say that he played on a pro offense, I'm sorry. I don't know any pro offenses that will go a game where throwing the ball only 10 times. Yes, the concepts are pro-like. Yes, you know, his head coach was a former NFL quarterback and head coach. So, yes, there are some NFL similarities. But he wasn't personally asked to throw the quarterback like an NFL quarterback. So I don't know. That's a lot of projection for me.
This might not be a good comparison, but Jimmy Garoppolo won a playoff game with only just nine passes against the Green Bay Packers.
That's a good one. Yeah. And by the way, he's a free agent out there, so let's not start any rumors here. Cliff asks, Danny, would you be willing to sit Connor Williams, the free agent center, for a half a year to sign him for 2 years? He can play both center and guard. What do you think?
It depends on how much I'm signing him for, Cliff. If it's a, you know, a team friendly deal, sure, I'd take him, rehab him, and then kick him in center. But you know, for me, it's like if you have that pick, assume they don't get any more picks and then they stay where they are right now. And that third, fourth round range is where I see them maybe, you know, concentrating on that interior of that offensive line, possibly a center there. So, you know, depending on how much Connor Williams wants, you know, if it's just a vet minimum for a couple of years, sure, I'll rehab him and I'll kick him out there. But he's a guy that's always had problems staying healthy. You know, going back to his days at Texas when he was a tackle and then he got drafted and he got kicked inside the guard and now is at center. So obviously the ACL, you can't do anything about it. That is a freak injury. But, you know, he's a guy that you know, definitely intrigues me in terms of, you know, playing center, especially in this system and with his athletic ability. But, yeah, I mean, if you can get one of these guys that we highlighted on our shows a couple weeks ago, in those that third, fourth round range, I think I would just go with the young guy and maybe have Ryan Bates fill in for a couple of weeks or half a season until that young guy is comfortable with all the protection, all the checks and all that stuff. So, you know, Evan Brown, the center for the Seahawks, wasn't signed. And I know they signed Nick Harris from Cleveland. So they're moving on from Evan Brown. Curious if that's something that, you know, with his familiarity with Shane Waldron, would he be someone that the Bears might be interested in here at center? We'll see.
I like that idea. Let's see. We got Vizzo Joe. Danny, do you think Poles finally goes all in on offense in the draft this year? Somebody posted it on X that the vast majority of draft picks in the early rounds for Ryan Poles has been on defense. And this could be the year where perhaps he changes that around and the majority will be on offense. Your thoughts?
It could happen because, I mean, if you take a look at that, they only have five picks right now. They have the two in the first, they have the one third pick, third round pick, 75, and they have two fourth round picks, right? So, you know, the edge guys, like I said, the edge guys are nine. I think that'd be too rich. And unless you trade down, that could be an option with the edge players. But so assuming you stay at 1 and 9, I think you go, obviously, you go quarterback and then receiver or offense tackle is the way I go. That's offense. You know, third round, we're talking about another receiver possibly, maybe even an interior offensive lineman. And then, you know, fourth round, you could go, maybe there's a defensive tackle that intrigues you. But again, it's a really thin class for defensive tackles. And, you know, depending on what you do in free agency, you know, that could be an area you might not want to, you know, invest a fourth round pick on. But, you know, I could see, you know, four out of the five or three out of the five picks being all offense, assuming that they stay here and not add more picks down the line.
Zach made a comment. Long term, though, we need to fix the quarterback position. You can only really do that through the draft. And Zach, I mean, I know you've been very critical, like I have, maybe more critical, Zach, than I have about Justin Fields. So, is your opinion also saying that you can fix the quarterback position through the draft by bringing in another wide receiver, high quality receiver, like any of those top three, to add a left tackle or an interior offensive lineman through the draft? Because that's how I feel. If you load up on young talent and let this team grow together, I think Justin Fields is not going to be the same quarterback we've seen these last three seasons. He's going to get better and better and better. Evidence of that is what he was able to accomplish with DJ Moore. DJ Moore had the best numbers of his entire career. And you know, some people may think, oh, it was a big deal. You know, Darnell Mooney had the worst numbers of his career. And there's some legitimacy to that. I wonder if Justin Fields is adept at seeing the entire field and making that second progression, third progression. I think that's part of the numbers Mooney's numbers were below average, but it also had to do with Mooney coming back from an injury. He's probably going to be 100% when he suits up with the Falcons, and he will have a good quarterback throwing him the ball. You disagree with anything I said there?
Cole Kmet had a great year too with Justin Fields. So it's
great point.
You know, so Kmet and DJ Moore both had career years with Justin Fields as a quarterback. And to me, I saw a difference in Justin Fields when he came back after that thumb injury in that second half of that season. I think I saw a guy that, you know, a little bit more comfortable in the pocket. You know, a couple times I called it out in postgame show, him stepping up in that pocket, climbing that ladder and being a little more comfortable and hitting DJ Moore down the field on those big touchdowns in Detroit a couple times there. So I think he got better. I just think he needs more time. And I think with better supporting cast, a more fortified offensive line, I think you'll see that from him.
Right. And I got to tell you, right now, that wide receiver room looks pretty barren. Take away DJ Moore, and you've got the worst wide receiver room in the entire NFL. And even with him, it arguably could be the worst wide receiver room. So we need, you know, maybe a Mike Williams, maybe a veteran to come in, and then one of those top three receivers, and all of a sudden, that wide receiver room turned from a D- to an A+.
So hoping that will happen. Danny, any final thoughts before we pull the plug on this episode?
No, I know we've been heavy on free agents here, and free agency and all that stuff, but next week, getting ready to get back into it next week and breaking down some more prospects. Cause obviously, the draft is coming up here fast and furious. So, I just hope, they start picking up some players, whether it's DJ, one of them on the defensive line. We talked about a couple of receivers, to bring it in here and just kind of start building this team. And, we'll see how it goes, but yeah, this is going to get more and more interesting as we get closer to the draft, because I don't see this whole quarterback thing being, resolved or having any sort of final thing, even maybe leading up to the draft day. So Ryan Poles did warn that it could go into April, right? So, another one thing is I wonder if anything has, and I think this has been speculated, if Caleb Williams pushing his medical with Bears, pushing it to after his pro day. I wonder if that had any sort of wrinkles in the Bears' plans to trade Justin. So I just think that all this is now kind of like becoming to a point where it's like everyone's getting kind of tired of it. And I just hope that, again, like I talked about earlier, like if they do go with Justin, I hope it's not to the point of no return with him. And you have an athlete here who's been turned off by the way he's been treated. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that everything works out. But it's going to get curious. It's going to get more curious as we get closer to the draft. And next week, we'll be back into breaking down prospects for you.
Dobbsy wants to squeeze a question in here for you. How much of that mentioned comfortability was due to finally having the whole offensive line play together in multiple games in a row last season? Dobbsy, I think, makes a good point in that Fields, for the first time in his three seasons in Chicago, he had the best offensive line, and they weren't as injured as in previous seasons.
Yeah, I think that had to do with it. I think also the familiarity now he had with DJ Moore, and obviously the going relationship he had with Cole Kmet, and that kind of play with do with it as well. The running game continued when given the opportunity to continue to produce. I think that the defense as well, coming on that second half and giving them some short fields and getting the ball back to him helped him as well. Because it wasn't now like he had to force it because the defense was going to just go up and give more points off on the other end. So he had a chance to just take the check down. Let's punt the ball and get back out on the field and let the defense do their thing and we'll get the ball back. I think that kind of all incorporated with it as well. I think he became more comfortable in the offense and in the scheme. And like I talk about, I think it was a combination of all that stuff. I think it just his development and also his growth continued to get better as well too. So I definitely saw a more comfortable, a better Justin Fields. Obviously, the last image you always have is the last time you've seen the guy on the field. And that Green Bay game, I think, put a bad taste in all of our mouths because they were kind of like projecting going up, and all of a sudden they kind of laid a big fat egg there in that Green Bay game. So I think that to me showed the ineptitude of this coaching staff to go out there and put a game plan together that would get these guys an opportunity to win this win that game. So unfortunately, it's we have to deal with this coach staff again. Oh, the head coach, at least the offensive staff is all new. So we'll see if that improves, but I would definitely love to see Justin be given an opportunity with Shane Waldron, seeing what he's done with guys like Geno Smith and even Russell Wilson. What would he do with an offense with Justin Fields as its leader? So I would love to see it.
I will talk about the head coach in a future show because that needs to be discussed, in a good 20, 30 minute block because Matt Eberflus has proven himself to be an excellent defensive coordinator, but as a head coach, the jury is still out. And if you look at all the teams that have been in Super Bowls over the last 20 years, these are outstanding coaches. Outstanding. There might be one or two that slipped in there that isn't an outstanding coach, but they didn't come back to the Super Bowl. And so
our biggest fear has been, repeating your past mistakes, right? And you kept the head coach. And if you bring in a rookie quarterback and you guys go 6-11 with this rookie quarterback, guess what? The expectations we were told is playoffs to win. 6-11, he's gone. Head coach is gone. You're bringing a whole new staff now. And it's rinse and repeat, right? It's a rookie quarterback now, his second year. He's got a whole new system, whole new coaching stuff. It's the thing that we didn't want to happen. And if you're gonna do this, you knew you had the first overall pick in the draft. You knew you were going to possibly draft a quarterback. You should have just wiped the slate clean, brought out a whole new head coach, and just moved on from there.
Okay. I got an apology for people in the chat. I know there are a couple of more questions. And I was hoping this week to give Danny that list of prospects that we said we were going to get to, but I neglected to get that to him in time for him to do the work. We will do that either next week or very, very soon. And if you have prospects that you want Danny to look at, you can find him on X at DSHIMON56 or just hit me up at Barroom Network. I'll collect that list, send it over to Danny, and we'll keep him up a few more hours. He's sleep deprived now. We'll make him more sleep deprived.
I was just waiting for you to give me an assignment to do a mock draft, a post agency mock draft. Luckily, that didn't come through the inbox.
I was going to do that. I think we got enough with Lauren. Anyway, and then next week, what position group are we going to focus on?
Ready off tackles next week.
Offensive tackle. So bring your offensive tackle prospect names, and Danny will touch on them. So get those into us as quickly as you can. I want to thank everyone in the chat room, everyone that's going to be watching on demand, and make sure you subscribe to the channel. That way you will be alerted whenever we are live or any one of the other half or dozen shows that we have in the Barroom Network. Danny, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right, take care, everybody. Danny, I forgot to put up the final numbers. We're still live, so don't say anything bad about my life. Let me put up the final numbers here and get your final thoughts on our election.
So, final numbers for what?
107 votes came in, 64% for Justin, 25% for Caleb, 7% for Ryan Poles. Do whatever you want, whatever you think is best. And 4% are looking for a different quarterback than the two mentioned.
Right. Yep. Our Barflies, man, they're smart. They know what they're talking about. So I agree.
That's right. You've taught them well. Take care, everybody.